Welcome back. The Chronicle of Philanthropy recently reported that many charities that serve veterans are desperate for money, and they generally aren't coordinating their services. Well, a newly created fund might make a dent in those issues. It's the brainchild of a businessman who hopes to raise $30 million from other wealthy parents who also don't have children in the military to support five veterans groups, and he wants to raise that money from these parents. Philip Green joins us on the line from his home in Washington, D.C. Phil, your family has donated $600,000 with some of your friends adding in. It's up to about $1.1 million. What was the thinking here?
Well, myself and my family and two of my good friends, Glenn Garland and Jim Stimmel, simply at some point in time recognized the inherent unfairness that we were blessed in many ways with great kids, all of whom are doing great things, by the way, but none of whom chose to serve in the military. And for that, I think we were all thankful, especially given the armed conflict overseas and the risks inherent in that. And at the same time, we were also cognizant of the fact that there were many other families and many other children of those families who were serving overseas. And we just concluded that at least for ourselves and hopefully for others, we need to pay back those veterans and their families who are involved in armed conflict and all the difficulties that arise as a result of that. So this is our way of paying back from those who did serve.
Well, you are president of a healthcare consulting firm, PDG Consulting. Your wife, Dr. Elizabeth Cobbs, is the head of geriatrics at Veterans Affairs Medical Center there in Washington, knowing a thing or two about some of the problems. What do you want other people to do?
Well, again, it's not for me to say, obviously, what other people do. Everybody sort of has their own gauge and their own moral compass. I think all we're trying to do is for those people who are like us, who feel blessed that their kids are not serving overseas, but feel a special moral obligation to those families and individuals who did go overseas, we're hopeful that we can encourage them to donate, hopefully, significant sums to help the infrastructure of the veterans who are returning back to the States.
Well, veterans advocate Paul Rykoff's group, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, will be housing the fund. They'll also be one of the five recipients. But, you know, the money has been given by generous people like yourself before. Back in 2006, entrepreneur David Gelbaum gave $246 million to support veterans. And the woman who ran that fund says, you know, the money's now been given out. She says the problem is there's a lack of a strategic approach to helping veterans, too little coordination. And in fact, when we tried to find your fund's website, it wasn't easy because so many other groups have names somewhat like the Veterans Support Fund, which we want to make clear is your group. Are you starting to feel that you're wandering into, with wonderful intentions, you're wandering into a pretty complicated area?
Well, I think it's complicated, and I think you've hit a very, very strong theme of mine. When I did my research about how best to deploy the funds that myself and Jim Stimmel and Glenn Garland were going to contribute, we saw exactly what you just articulated, which is literally thousands of veterans groups all doing great things, and most of them living hand-to-mouth, trying to raise enough money to be able to support their causes. And there was no united way for veterans groups to be able to raise consistently enough funds to support, this valuable mission. What we intended to do was first find the very best not-for-profit tax-exempt organization in this space that we thought had the infrastructure to put together sort of the United Way for Veterans Affairs, and that's how we got to Paul Rykoff and IAVA, because we think they have that pedigree and that leadership. And, you know, if you look in this space, basically, with difficult economic times, there traditionally has been, $40 to $50 million given in this space, but it's usually by the same people, and it's usually small donations. And there's, unfortunately, the needs of the returning veterans and their families is, many, many times the $50 million that's historically been raised. So the question is, how do you change the dialogue so that you actually are, changing the $50 million so it becomes $80 or $100 or $150 million. And you're only going to be able to do that if you change both the infrastructure for going to get the money and, more importantly, the message in the dialogue. And those are the two things we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, there are others who agree with you. There's a report from the Center for a New American Security. They recommended the creation of an office on community reintegration in the VA that would support some of these community-based providers and create a network. But putting that aside, you know, I have to say, I was wondering when I heard your story, I found myself wondering what your politics were, you know, whether you supported the wars, how you might have voted. But then I'm realizing I'm not sure I want to know, because the country's become so polarized that that might send some sort of a signal to somebody who otherwise might have supported you. So how do you feel about, you know, whether or not I should even ask you?
Well, first of all, I don't mind being asked, and there's nothing political about what it is that I'm doing. I'm a registered Democrat. One of my motivations, I must say, in this is that for those of us who are baby boomers who lived through both Selective Service and Vietnam, you know, my children are not subjected to the Selective Service the way our generation was. And the fact that there is no Selective Service has changed the politics around who serves and who does not serve. If there were Selective Service, you know, my kids who are all able-bodied would be serving. Okay, we would be the parents who would have the sleepless nights wondering whether they were going to get back in one piece, and we would be the sleepless parents who would have to worry about how to take care of them once they got back. And I really, there must be 500,000 people like me, okay? And I'm not fabulously wealthy. You know, we worked hard for this money. It's a substantial amount of our money. But if somebody were to say to me, and say to 100,000 other people, would you have paid $100,000 so that your three kids did not have to serve and did not have to put on boots and go to Iraq and Afghanistan? I'm telling you, a staggering number of people would say yes. Forget Selective Service for a second. So all it really is just saying to those some people, you know, if you can look them in the eye and honestly say, would you have paid so your kids did not have to go? Why not give the $100,000 to the people who did go?
So it sounds like it's not, well, maybe not guilt, but gratefulness?
It was absolutely, well, I would. I don't think it's a question of guilt, because I'm very proud of what my kids are doing, and I think they're doing wonderful things. It is simply a reality that, at least for me, and I'm not trying to make a moral judgment about others, our family owes a special debt to those people who are serving, and those families who have kids who are serving. And I mean, the VA is a wonderful system. The government is doing all it can for these veterans, but, you know, the reality is that so much more is necessary.
Phil Green, his project is the Veteran Support Fund. Their goal is to collect $30 million from other families who also don't have children serving. We will link to you at hereandnow.org. Phil, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
So, if you go there, we'd love to know your thoughts as well. If your kids didn't serve and you are wealthy, have done well, do you think you should contribute to families that did serve? Let us know your thoughts. And again, you can find the link at hereandnow.org. Back with Rhett Miller, Here and Now.